Let me wish you a blessed and wonderful 2014, a blessed new year in the Lord. I want to inspire you today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to 2014. Welcome to our first broadcast on The Line of Fire in this brand new year. I won't be taking calls today, but my intent is to inspire you, to encourage you, to challenge you, to give you some fuel for your fire for this brand new year, to help point you in the right direction. And I want to share some quotes and some scriptural truths with you through the broadcast. So be blessed. If you miss any of the show, go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and you can listen to the entire broadcast afresh from there. The last Sunday of 2013, I brought a message at my home congregation, Fire, where I normally speak once a month, and it was called Turn Your Face to the Wall. Turn Your Face to the Wall. I just want to take 3 or 4 minutes now and summarize that truth for you, and let this be the first thing I encourage you with in the new year. The basic thesis was this, that radical change will not just come on its own. That the change will not just happen one day. That basically the only thing that changes over the course of time is we get older. When Dr. Martin Luther King was in jail and wrote his famous letter from a Birmingham jail, he responded to one white man who said, look, over the course of time, things will change. Just be patient and change will come to your people. And King said, look, change in itself is not going to come just over the passage of time. There must be action taken. Many times, it's only when there's some type of crisis in our lives that we really take hold of God or we make some lifestyle change. How many of us have been a little overweight or prayerless, or not studious in this way or that way, or not diligent in this or that, whatever it is, and it's decades, and we think, well, it'll change with the new year, it'll change when I turn 20, or 30, or 40, or 50, or 60, or whatever. Well, it'll change when we move. Well, it'll change when I go into ministry. Well, it'll change when I'm married. Well, it'll change when we have our first kid, and on and on, and it never changes, and things never change. There must be some determined effort, with the grace and help of God. In fact, believing that behind your determined effort is the moving of the Spirit already in your life, there must be something determined and definite that will push that change to come. And we see it in 2 Kings 20 with Hezekiah. He's told he's going to die. Set your house in order because you're going to die. You're going to die and not live. And what made it especially grievous was that he was the king of Judah and he didn't have an heir. He didn't have a child, which would mean the royal line could not continue through him. And he turned his face to the wall and he cried out to the Lord and he wept bitterly. And within moments, God sent the prophet back to him and said, you're going to live 15 more years. Now, the lesson is sometimes you need to cut out the distractions. Sometimes you need to turn away from everything else. Sometimes you need to make an absolute determination, I am going after God. Whether it's shutting yourself in the room all night, whether it's every single day going to him with persistence till the breakthrough comes, being like Jacob who gets to that point who says, I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not let you go until you bless me. I want to encourage you, if there's a breakthrough, a change that has to come in your life, don't just wait for it. Don't deceive yourself that the new year will somehow bring about change. Turn your face to the wall. Shut out the outside distractions. Take whatever measures you must take to have that opportunity and go after God for the breakthrough. And determine, even this day, I'm going to get quality time with God to start the new year for change.
Give up.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to the year 2014. Today on The Line of Fire, Michael Brown wishing you a blessed, truly happy new year in the Lord. Some of you have come through rough times. Some of you have had a miserable 2013. May you experience the favor and goodness of God in 2014. If you don't know the Lord, if you've never really surrendered your life to Him, if you've been away from Him, here's the wonderful truth. No matter what you've done, no matter how far you've strayed, no matter what sins you've committed, no matter how ugly and shameful the deeds, even if there are terrible consequences in this world, the good news is Jesus died for every one of those sins. And if you'll humble yourself and call out to Him for mercy, if you'll ask Him to forgive you and wash you clean and give you a brand new start so you can live for Him, He will do it. And 2014 will be the most wonderful year of your life. I'm not taking calls today. I'm opening up some scriptural truths to inspire you, to challenge you, to edify you, to encourage you in this new year, some biblical truths, some favorite quotes of mine as well. I want to read to you from Romans, the 8th chapter. I want to encourage you with these words. And I want to go back in the chapter a little bit, Romans, the 8th chapter, where Paul begins to speak about the suffering taking place in the world today. Verse 19, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Now, just to jump in here in the reading of the text for a moment, I don't know if you've ever experienced it or how often you've experienced it. I don't believe Paul is speaking specifically about tongues here, but literally about groanings and sighs too deep for words. We know in Hebrews 5 that Jesus was heard. Hebrews tells us when He prayed with loud crying and tears, He was heard because of His reverent fear. There are times when the burden is overwhelming, the times where it is just so intense that human words can't articulate it, or you don't know how to pray. And sometimes you can only weep and sob. But for me, when I get to a deeper point of prayer, something for me that is a more intense, deeper time of prayer than tongues or what I can express even in my own words, I find myself groaning. There's an internal agony. There's a spiritual agony. It can be over someone's desperate situation. It can be over the fallen, broken state of the world. It can be a desperate hunger to see God glorified. And whether you're charismatic or not, this is something that is precious and deep and wonderful, an expression of the Spirit praying through us. As we groan inwardly, Paul writes about that as well in 2 Corinthians 5. So the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So the Father, understanding what the Spirit is praying through us. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. this could be read as the text says here, that all things work together for good, or as other Greek manuscripts say, in all things, God works together for good. This much we know. This much we know. All things in and of themselves do not work for good. All things in and of themselves are not helpful, constructive. Many things are destructive. Many things are negative. Many things are harmful. However, God works in the midst of all things for his people who love him and who were called according to his purpose, and therefore can turn all things for our good and for his glory and to make us more like Jesus. There are many things that are beyond our control. There are many things that are going to happen to you and to me that we're going to walk through in 2014 that are beyond our control. But if we will honor the Lord in them, if we will repent when we've done wrong and open the door to wrong and negative things, if we'll praise God for his goodness in the midst of bad things, if we will walk with the Lord and believe for his redemptive power to turn negative things around for his glory, we will see the hand of God at work. We will become more like Jesus. We will see stumbling blocks become stepping stones. Then the text says this, Paul writes, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Rather than debate Calvinism and Arminianism here, let's just take this in that God has a plan and he is working it out for his people. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Let's recognize that that remains God's greatest goal, to make us like Jesus, in order that Jesus, he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Either this is speaking of us being glorified by the Spirit in this age, or it is speaking of the future glory we will experience as if it already has taken place. That's how certain it is in God's sight. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Friend, I encourage you to get rid of anything in your life that you know is displeasing to God. To turn in your heart away from it. If you feel bound, if you're struggling, there is help in the Lord. And there is counsel you can receive, or prayer you can receive, or simply you can go after God in your own life to break through. But you can right now, no matter what situation you find yourself in, say, Lord, I'm through with that in Jesus' name. I want to please you. I want to honor you. As Jesus said, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. There is power in the gospel to overcome evil and to overcome sin. If God is for us, who can be against us? If you love the Lord, if your life is given over to him, he's for you, friend. And he's even for you when you're in the midst of sin, but he's for you turning away from that sin. He wants to bless you, not destroy you. If God's for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Come on, the hard thing has been done, the sacrifice of the Son of God on the cross. Of course God will withhold nothing good from his people that seek him and love him and honor him. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus, Messiah Jesus, is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Messiah? Shall tribulation, or distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure, Paul writes, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Messiah Jesus our Lord. I want to encourage you that in Jesus you are more than a conqueror. In Jesus you are an overcomer. God is for you. Nothing can separate you from his love. There is nothing outside you that can come against you, that can separate you from his love. So be strong and of good courage in this new year, 2014. Friends, let me encourage you to take advantage of something special we're doing this week. This is the last week we're doing it, but we have from the first printing of Hyper Grace, which is just available now, we have numbered copies that I'm signing also. So these are like collector's editions of the book Hyper Grace, which I believe will be one of the more important books you'll read in 2014. $30 postage paid will send this out to you. Go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Right on the homepage, we can't take calls for orders today on New Year's Day, but go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and this is right on the homepage. Get this for yourself or for a friend.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the new year, to 2014. Michael Brown, delighted to spend this time with you on the first day of the new year. I'm not taking calls today, but my intent, my purpose is to inspire you, to encourage you, to challenge you, to edify you with scriptural truths, with some inspirational quotes. And I believe that you'll be blessed and you'll come back to this broadcast and perhaps share it with others as well. And thank you for your many kind words through 2013. Thank you so much for the prayers you prayed for me and our team in this ministry. Thanks for your financial contributions. Thanks to those of you in particular who support us on a monthly basis, or our team of torchbearers who help us do so much of what we do. Thank you for sharing our materials with others and for great teamwork to help spread the message of the gospel through the Line of Fire to many others. I have to say, honestly, I received more words of encouragement, more positive comments in 2013, far and away, than any other time in my life. So thank you so much for that. I deeply appreciate it. You know, as I say that, I think back to one special season when I was around so many thousands of people face to face that I would constantly hear words of appreciation that moved me to serve all the more effectively. But even beyond that, I've heard more and more from so many of you, and it just helps us be strong in what we're doing. Know that by God's grace, we're making a difference. And I want to share an edifying truth with you at the beginning of this new year. I want to encourage you to remind yourself of this truth through the year. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. I'll say it again. The devil is a liar, and that is encouraging. Jesus, speaking to some Jewish listeners in John the 8th chapter, as they were resisting and rejecting the gospel, said, "You are of your father, the devil," in John 8:44. Now, he was not saying that all Jews had the devil as their father. That's often been taken out of context and misquoted and misused by anti-Semites and by misguided church leaders and others through the centuries. In fact, it says in 1 John 5:19 that the whole world is under the power of the evil one. And Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, that those who don't believe have had their minds blinded by Satan. So this is the condition of all those who are outside of the gospel. Yeah, there are strong words, but this does not single out Jews, Gentile, who are outside of Jesus. But I refer to that because Jesus says that Satan is the father of lies and a murderer, and that he's been a liar from the beginning. I'm 58 now. That's a lot younger than some of you listening, but it's a lot older than many others listening. And I've been following Jesus now by his grace for more than 42 years. And I am an eyewitness to the fact that Satan is a liar. I would not be alive today if what Satan said was true. I would not be in ministry today if what Satan said was true. my wife Nancy would not be alive. No, in fact, I never would have met her. We wouldn't have children. Our lives would not be blessed. I would not be doing what I'm doing today if Satan's words were true. I remember I was 18 years old. I remember this distinctly. I was on my way over to the house of a family where the mother was a Jewish woman. She and her husband were Jewish. He was an aggressive atheist, but a lot of fun to be around because of his aggression. He was a college professor. She had knocked on the door of our house as a Jehovah's Witness. Think of this. A Jewish Jehovah's Witness who lived down the block from me where I grew up. She knocked on the door when I was in high school and talked to my mom. And my mom, bless her heart, she's 91 today and just as proud of me now as she was then. Proud Jewish mom. This woman knocked on the door and my mom said to her, I'm not really interested in religion, but wait for my son to come home. He'll convert you. He converts everybody. This is what she actually said. So I happened to come driving up, getting home from high school. Right as she was leaving, I began to talk to her. I saw there was openness. And ultimately, by the truth of the gospel, she left Kingdom Hall. She recognized that her beliefs were in error. I was on my way over to her house some months later. I was 18 years old. And I remember hearing this distinctly in my spirit, in my inner ear. It was not just my own human thinking. It was a lie from Satan. And I had been through tests and challenges and all kinds of different pressure over my life that a teenager would go through, but nothing exceptional or beyond that. There was a lot of demonic attack that had taken place as a believer, but I was enjoying the Lord, strong in the Lord. But what had happened was my schedule had changed. I was working a summer job. I had previously had a very light high school schedule. So even though I was in church services 4 or 5 nights a week and a few services on Sunday, I was able to spend 6 or 7 hours alone with the Lord every day in prayer. I was able to read the word at least 3 hours, or read the word at least 2 hours, memorize scripture for 1 hour a day. I could memorize 20 verses in an hour with God's supernatural help. And I did that for months, steady without missing a day, pray at least 3 hours, share the gospel with at least one new person every day. Now I was working a full-time job and it was a pretty rigorous schedule and I didn't have all those hours. I had half that time or less, and even though that was wonderful to be able to spend that quality time with the Lord, and if I had a little sense, I would have realized it's okay to miss a church service here and there and spend more time alone. I had lost so much time. I wasn't doing what I'd done before, and the enemy was there saying, look, you're backsliding, look at this, you're backsliding. And I remember distinctly hearing the enemy's voice. It was a negative word spoken to my inner being. You are like a punch drunk fighter. You have taken too many punches and it's too late for you. Your best days are behind you. I was 18 years old. I remember hearing that as I was about to go over to this family's house to speak more to the woman and help disciple her in the Lord. I remember hearing that distinctly. Well, 40 years later, I can tell you decisively the devil is a liar. I remember before I would speak at Times Square Church on a regular basis, that right before I'd get up to speak, I'd hear that demonic voice, that sense inside, tonight's your night of failure. Tonight's the night when everything comes down. Tonight's the night when you make a mockery of the gospel by having no message. And it got to the point I would just smile as those words passed through one ear and out the other. The devil's a liar. When he comes to you with a lie, turn it around and make it an object of praise to God. Hey, just another reminder, last week to do this, to get a numbered signed copy of Hyper Grace, go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org to order.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire, this first broadcast of 2014. May the blessing and smile of the Lord be upon you as you honor Him and love Him and serve Him. And for those who need a brand new start in 2014, may this be the first day of a brand new life. I'm not taking calls today. You can always communicate with me through the website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. I do encourage you to read my latest article, Is There a New Grace Reformation Today? Go to AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org, and click on latest article in order to read that. And just another reminder to all of my friends in New York and Long Island, this coming Wednesday, so Wednesday, January 8th, Freeport, Long Island, I'll be speaking at Word of Life Church with Pastor Gaspar Anastasi. And after the service, I'll be doing a book signing, Hyper Grace, and we trust there'll also be a brand new shipment of Authentic Fire. So both of the books there, I'll be doing a book signing for you. And then Thursday morning, Middle Island on Long Island in Suffolk County. So we'll be in Nassau County Wednesday night, Suffolk County Thursday morning. At Middle Island, Holding Out Hope Church in the Gospel Cafe. There, free breakfast for pastors and leaders. If you want to bring others from your congregation with you, others in leadership or ministry with you, you can, but seating is limited. Free breakfast. I'll be speaking to you about the books, Hyper Grace, Authentic Fire, taking questions on these subjects, and then doing a book signing. So you'll be able to get those books there. And then a very, very special Thursday afternoon, January 9th in Manhattan at the American Bible Society, hosted by WMCA. From 1 to 2, I'll be joining Kevin McCullough for his live AFR TV show. Then from 2 to 3, I'll be doing the Line of Fire broadcast live with all of you. First time we've ever done this anywhere in this way. And then joining Kevin McCullough from 3 to 4 as well. So it should be a wonderful time. Then from 4 to 5, I'll be speaking about Authentic Fire and Hyper Grace and taking your questions live, face to face, and then doing a book signing. So you can get the books then. I'll be sharing about these things. Come for whatever period of time you're able to come, between 1 and 6, and we'll have a blessed time together there in Manhattan. For more information, go to WMCA.com for the Manhattan event. All right, I want to give you a simple illustration for the new year. There was a man doing a demonstration. He had this large vase, and he put a bunch of big rocks in the vase. And he said, how many think this vase is full? And they said, oh, yeah, you can't get any more rocks in there. He said, okay, watch. Then he took a whole bunch of little rocks and began to drop them in, and they fell in all the cracks and crevices. And he said, how many think it's full now? Yeah, it looks it, but they weren't as sure. Well, then he took a bunch of pebbles and started to pour the pebbles in, and now they filled other places. He said, how many think it's full now? It looks pretty full. Then he took some sand and poured the sand in until it was totally full. He said, how many think it's full now? Pretty much everybody raised their hand. And they said, what's the lesson here? Well, you think there's always room for more, right? There's always room for more. No, the lesson was put the big rocks in first, because if you don't put them in first, there won't be room for them later. Let me urge you, let me encourage you, let the main things be the main things in your life. You need to ask yourself, what is the most important thing in my life, the second most important, the third most important? And then you need to work everything else around that. Put the big rocks in first. Make the main things, and you will see the blessing of the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends. New Year's edition of The Line of Fire. I'm not taking calls today, but through the broadcast, for one entire hour, sharing scriptural truths, sharing some inspirational quotes, sharing things to build you up, to encourage you, to challenge you to really live out the fullness of God's purpose for your life in this year, in 2014. If you want to be in regular contact with us, know what's happening on a daily basis, sometimes moment by moment basis, then connect with me via Facebook or Twitter. You can do that by going to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Facebook icon. You can join us there. Click on the Twitter icon. You can join us there. Click on the YouTube icon. You can subscribe to our YouTube videos. We put up several new videos every single week with lots and lots of content. In fact, one of the recent ones we just put up was me reading the first chapter of Authentic Fire, my response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire. I read the first chapter, and we have the text on the screen as I'm reading, and we got a lot of response to people saying, wow, it really helps. I take it in much better. I'm seeing, I'm hearing at the same time. We're hearing your tone of voice as well. So we have that. We have our Jewish Apologetics TV shows that get posted there every week, new messages I might preach somewhere that we have on video that we'll put up there. So you can subscribe to the YouTube channel as well. And all of that you can do right from my homepage. And then to get our e-blasts, which can come out sometimes a couple in a week, sometimes once in a week or so, which are informative and link you to other articles and the like, just click on the email icon and sign up. Of course, it's free. All right, not taking calls today, but I want to give you a word of encouragement, but a sober word. It's from John 16:33. John 16:33. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He is shortly going to be arrested and then crucified. They will go through a very challenging, dark time over a period of a few days before he rises from the dead and their hope is made alive again. But he says this, John 16:33. I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. In the world, in this world, you will have trouble. Another translation, you will have trouble and suffering. You will have many trials and sorrows. The Complete Jewish Bible says it like this, I've said these things to you so that united with me, you may have Shalom. In the world, you have tsuris, but be brave. I've conquered the world. The Yiddish word tsuris actually comes from the Hebrew tsarot, which means troubles, sorrows. The Greek word that's used here is thlipsis, which means tribulation. It means pressure. It means trial. It means difficulty. And Jesus is telling us, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. It doesn't mean be pessimistic. It doesn't mean expect the worst. It doesn't mean hang your head and say, I'm just a sitting duck for the enemy. In fact, I remember staying at someone's house on Long Island when Nancy and I were visiting friends and we lived in Maryland. At that time, we were staying with them on Long Island. And there was a picture on the wall of the bedroom, the guest room where we stayed, and it was a picture of Daffy Duck. And he's sitting there by the poolside in a beach chair, and he's got some cocktail in his hand. And there, all around him on the wall behind him, if I remember the picture correctly, were these bullet holes. He was a sitting duck. I remember before going to Korea to minister there the first time, in 1990 before going to South Korea that a gentleman was going to be translating for me for the first time. He was a brilliant scientist or had a PhD in mechanical engineering, something like that. He was a brilliant man, and he really wanted to get everything accurately and communicate clearly. He had translated for Korean generals that were coming into the States and needed to be debriefed and things explained to them. But this was going to be a new situation as I was preaching in Korea, and he was going to be translating for me. And somehow, when he was over at our house, he lived in Virginia, he was over at our house in Maryland, and we made some comment about something and said, yeah, you know, you don't want to be a sitting duck. And he said, what is a sitting duck? And we desperately tried to explain the image, and somehow it wasn't computing. And then he finally got it. Now, that's also the reminder, when you preach or teach or speak with a translator, don't use idioms. Man, it cost me an arm and a leg to get to your country. What? Brother, you have two arms, two legs. What does that mean? You don't use idioms. But anyway, all that to say, Jesus is not telling us we are sitting ducks. Well, there's nothing you can do about it. Terrible things are going to happen to everybody. Oh, there's nothing you can do. There are bad car wrecks and cancer, and that's your lot. No, he's not saying to every one of us that your worst nightmare is going to happen. He is simply saying this world is messed up. And in this world, you're going to have trouble. You live long enough, there's going to be hardship. You live long enough, you're going to lose someone close to you. You live long enough, you're going to go through some kind of hellish attack. You live long enough, some problems are going to arise. In this world, you will have trouble. Don't be shocked by it. Don't be so surprised by it. Don't be so devastated by it that you're, what, I'm a follower of Jesus. How could I get fired from my job because they downsized? I'm a follower of Jesus. Why is it that my best friends turned against me because they don't believe in him? I'm a follower of Jesus. How could my spouse get sick? No, in this world, there's going to be trouble. In this world, there's going to be hardship. Jesus told us about it. But be of good cheer. Be brave. Be encouraged, because he's already overcome the world. Catherine Booth, the co-founder of the Salvation Army, said, the waters are rising, but so am I. I'm not going under, but over. Rosalind Goforth, who served the Lord sacrificially with her husband, Jonathan, as missionaries in China and Manchuria, she said, the safest place for me and my children is in the will of God. And they suffered, and they lost family members, and they endured great hardship for the gospel, but she knew the safe place is in the center of the will of God. Jesus has already overcome death. Jesus has overcome everything Satan could bring against him. He has risen from the dead, and we are risen in him. You say, it just sounds like words. What does it mean we're risen in him? It means that we can partake of his life. It means that we can partake of his victory. It means that we can partake of his peace and joy. Doesn't he say it? Doesn't he say it in John 14, the end of the chapter? My peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. I'm giving this to you in a lasting way. You can actually experience God's supernatural peace in the midst of hellish trials. You can actually experience God's supernatural joy in the midst of difficult situations. You can actually experience confidence. You can actually experience hope. You can actually know that things will turn for the good coming down. And it's not sticking your head in the sand. It's not blind optimism. It's taking hold of the life of Jesus. You're an overcomer in him. What's written in 1 John 5? Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory by which we overcome the world, even our faith. This is not just abstract. This is what has enabled people to endure hell on earth. This is what has enabled people to come out shining after going through trials that are unimaginable. This is what has enabled people to look death, to look sickness, to look calamity in the face and say, I'm more than a conqueror in Jesus. It's not to say we live a trouble-free life. It's to say in the midst of trouble, in the midst of hardship, in the midst of pain, we overcome. How? By taking hold of the life of Jesus. Think of it. He literally says, the peace I have, the peace I experience, I give to you. Think of that. The joy that he was anointed with, he shares with us. And by his life, we one day will ultimately overcome death as well. In this world, there will be trial and sorrow, but be of good cheer, Jesus says. I've overcome the world, and in him, we overcome as well.
Send it, Lord. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to this first broadcast of the year 2014 here on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. If you missed any part of the broadcast, I've been going through Scripture. I've been looking at edifying truths, challenging truths, things to help you jumpstart your new year in the Lord. If you missed any part of the broadcast, go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown. That's askdrbrown.org, and click on the latest audio to listen to the show. Also, make sure you click on the latest article where I raise the question, is there a new grace reformation taking place in the church today? I'm not taking your calls, but I do want to share some final thoughts in this last segment with you. I've given you a lot of scripture through the broadcast. I want to share a couple of quotes with you. G.K. Chesterton, perhaps the most quoted Christian author of the 20th century, said this: Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and not tried. Why not find out in the year 2014 what could happen if you determine to make no excuses and determine to trust God and take him at his word and move forward in obedience? Now, please understand, I'm not telling you get off your medication as a proof that you have faith. If you're a diabetic, stop taking insulin as a proof that you have faith. If you wear glasses or have contact lenses, destroy them as a proof you have faith. I'm not talking about that at all. In fact, if God heals you, you won't need the medication or the glasses or the contact lenses, and therefore it will be redundant to use them. Or even, I'm talking about obedience in our own lives to the will of God. In fact, let me share another quote with you from Leonard Ravenhill, a dear colleague, the greatest man of prayer that I knew, the most brokenhearted man that I knew. He lived from 1907 to 1994, and I had the privilege of being very close to him in the last 5 years of his life. Leonard Ravenhill said this: one of these days, some simple soul will pick up the book of God, read it, and believe it. Then the rest of us will be embarrassed. Can I read that again? One of these days, some simple soul will pick up the book of God, read it, and believe it. Then the rest of us will be embarrassed. You know, it's well past time for making excuses. It's well past time for, well, you know, the church wasn't good to me. Well, you know, my company wasn't good to me. Well, life has been hard. Yeah, I understand that life can be hard and many people can be hurt by the church. And yes, God is compassionate and tender towards us. And as a father has compassion on his children, Psalm 103, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. I want to say at the same time, the Lord calls us to be soldiers. The Lord calls us to be overcomers. The Lord calls us to endure hardship. The Lord calls us to run our race and persevere to the end. why not determine in 2014, as challenging as it may be, that you're going to believe what God says? Why not determine that you're going to renew your mind, not based on people's opinions, not based on stuff that happens around you, but based on what God says in His Word, that you'll wrestle these things through, that you'll understand what the Scripture, and then you'll say, Lord, here I am, send me, use me. And then you do what your hand finds to do. I've met so many people over the years that came to that crisis point. I talked about it at the very beginning of the broadcast, like Hezekiah turning his face to the wall. You come to that point, you say, I can't live the way I'm living any longer. And you recognize that more of the same will only produce more of the same. And you determine the breakthrough must come. I cannot continue to live like this. And what happens? God's grace is there. In fact, it's God's grace at work in you to get you to that point. You're not taking the initiative as much as you're responding to the calling and prompting of God. And when you do that, something happens. And then it's like you get out of the boat and take one step on the water and think, wow, I can take another. I can take another. Don't despise the grace that works in you. Don't despise the empowerment you receive. Don't despise the help you receive from the Lord. When He begins to do His work in you, go with it. When you feel that determination, when you feel that burden to pray you haven't felt in years, when you see a grace to fast, when you have a greater compassion or boldness to witness, whatever it is, give yourself to that. Give yourself to that. As you do, you will see change come. As you do, as you respond to Him today, forget tomorrow. Come on, we're in 2014 already. You know, we were told Jesus would be back by 1988. We were told Y2K, year 2000. Oh no, what's going to happen? Look, I'm 58 now. I feel young and fresh. But our youngest grandchild is 7. Our oldest is about to turn 13. I got saved when I was 16. That was a world ago. I feel fresh, ready, looking forward to a bright future in Jesus as I honor Him and walk in holy reverence before Him. But friends, I recognize that change is not just going to come on its own, and that a lot of things in my heart and my life that I want to see change, that I know need to change, where I need to step higher in God, where I need greater discipline and greater devotion and greater focus, that's not just going to happen on its own. And if it does, unless I cooperate with the Lord, it's not going to stay. Why not determine, I'm going to believe God. I am going to be like someone who will not let go until the answer comes. I'm going to be a believer and live as a believer and not be ashamed of Jesus. You'll be amazed with what you see happen. And I pray and trust that this year on the Line of Fire broadcast, we will really help you grow in God and fulfill the calling of God on your life. You may have heard already the controversy swirling around my Hyper Grace book, Exposing the Dangers of the Modern Grace Movement. This is a book for grace lovers, not grace haters. This is a book for those who want to experience and walk in God's true grace. And when we expose the error, some of it is mixed with beautiful truth, and that's what makes the error all the more dangerous. And people are getting very upset as we're naming names and saying, hey, these are brothers in the Lord with great messages, but the message is mixed with error. Hyper grace. You may hear a lot of talk about it. I believe you're going to hear a lot of talk about it in the coming months. We have something unique through our ministry. The first printing we received, we numbered the first few hundred copies only. And now I am signing those with a personal scripture note to those that get these $30 postage paid. It's just our way of giving you something special and your way of standing with us and helping us. $30 postage paid. You can't call in for this today, so go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, right on the homepage, and order as many copies as you want of the initial signed numbered first edition printing. My bottom line today, let this be the great revelation, the great truth that undergirds us through 2014 as we honor the Lord. If God is for us, who can be against us?